Dog Days of February. Before Chucky, the dog, turned up in February, there was Jeff, another dog, in October. Lizzie, 4, my daughter, brought me a long, wrinkled green ribbon in her teeth and mumbled, "Pretend I'm a dog. Pretend my name is Jeff. Put me on my leash and take me for a walk." I tied the ribbon around her waist securely, for Jeff was the sort of dog who tugged at his leash, and Jeff might be the sort of dog who ran into the street. I walked my dog, Jeff. He pranced on his hind legs, his two front legs held chest high, paws dangling, down Abbott Street, the street we take when we walk to the center of our small town. Jeff sniffed at bushes along Abbott Street, lifted his leg at lamp post and fire hydrants. Cars drove by, heads turned. If a dog's head hung out the car window, Jeff barked at the car. To Jeff's delight, the dogs barked back. With Jeff on a leash, I had suddenly become a dog owner, happy to get outside and take a walk. Isn't this a good reason to have a dog? Prospective dog owners tell themselves. And I had such a fine dog, Jeff. At the intersection of Abbott and Church, Jeff circled 3 times in one spot, squatted, and announced, "I'm pooping." I averted my eyes after making sure Lizzie kept her pants up and instinctively acted as dog owners do in my observation, pretend not to notice that it is their dog at the other end of the leash who is defecating on a public sidewalk or in someone's yard. I contemplated instead Abbott Street. What a pretty little street of trees red and gold, of pretty clapboard houses brilliant in the October light, their big porches all near neighbors in a pleasant, old-fashioned way, with dads reading the paper, moms in and out the front door, kids running up and down the steps from the yard. All of us right now on Abbott Street, taking the time to smell the roses, as they say, even though the rose bushes right under my nose weren't in bloom. Yet, like any dog owner, didn't I soon enough become annoyed that the shitting and the sniffing and even the walking were taking too long? I tugged at the leash. "Let's go, Lizzie." "I'm Jeff." On our way back, we saw a chipmunk flattened on the road into furred jerky, its tiny jaws stained dull red. "What's that?" Jeff demanded. I took the opportunity to enforce a moral. "A squishmunk who ran out into the road without looking right and left. He's dead." From moral to metaphysics, I had to have with my dog the conversation about death and where the dead go. "Heaven," I said, but ashamed of myself, took it back immediately and offered up airily instead, "the air." Lizzie and I will never see a dead dog on the Abbott streets of our town. People are quick to call animal control for a dead anything bigger than a dead squirrel. If we pass a dead dog someday, sprawled, broken down to its meat at the edge of a highway, we will be traveling too fast to spot the dog that died a dog's death. In February, the Ice Age strikes. A glacier overtakes Abbott Street and Abbott sidewalks. February ice is about mincing steps outdoors, and we aren't the mincing types. Lizzie and I stay in. Our small apartment seems smaller. Chucky shows up one Saturday morning. I'm loading the dishwasher, and Lizzie pads up to me on all fours with a long leather shoulder strap from an old purse clipped to the neck of her shirt, the other end dragging on the floor. She wags her head at me, and when I take the strap from between her teeth, she says, "Pretend I'm a dog. Pretend my name is Chucky, and you're going to walk me." "It's kind of slippery outside, Liz." "Chucky, walk me around the house, I mean." I clip the strap to the waistband of her corduroy pants. Walking a dog in the house, I discover, has the same recreative trajectory as walking a dog outside. At first, the dog owner is happy to get out. In this case, get out of house cleaning. We walk from kitchen to dining room to living room to bedroom and up and down the hall. Alas for Chucky, indoor dog walkers, like outdoor dog walkers, soon get bored. House cleaning seems of the utmost necessity to me. On our walk, I've seen too many stacks of old newspapers. We've disturbed too many dust galaxies. The sink is still full. "Chuck, my boy, I've got to finish the dishes." "Chucky, I know. Pretend I'm your dog, Chucky, and you tie me up to the radiator in the kitchen while you wash dishes and you're not looking, and I break loose and run away, and you don't know it, and then you see I've escaped, and then you chase me down the hall. You say, oh, where is Chucky? I'm not good at following a script. I make mistakes. My biggest one is to improvise and warble out, oh, where can my little dog be? Lizzie can't bear the sadness of the song, and the phrase, my little dog, maddens her. She insists, after all, she is a big dog. I have to say, oh, where is Chucky? 8 breakaways later, each complete with a tie-up, escape, search, chase, quick stomp of my foot on the trailing leash, tug back to the kitchen, I am ready for Chucky to cool out. Sit, I command. Lie down. Chucky lies down on his belly, but like any dog, gets up again in 2 seconds, nudges me with his nose, whines and whines. I bribe Chucky with a cookie to lie down again. Chucky slides down onto the floor, mumbles the cookie on his crossed paws. As I wipe down the counter, I think about dogs, their character types, the submissive dog who dogs your every footstep, the never-to-be-mastered dog who nips and runs away, a dog in between who snatches the treat from your hand, tugs at the leash, likes to run away, longs to be found. Last October, Lizzie and I took Bob, a suitor, on a walk to the pond near our house. His big dog, Jim, chased the tennis ball flung into the water by Bob, chomped down on the tennis ball, swam ashore, dropped the ball at Bob's feet, shook water on us all. Lizzie, a.k.a. Jeff, begged me to throw a stick in the water. She splashed in after it, grabbed the stick with her teeth, ran over to us, dropped the stick, shook water on us all. Bob laughed, his big body lolled in the grass. The sun, October bright, the pond glittery, the water drops thick and hard and prismatic as crystal chandelier drops. Bob could throw the stick farther than me, a little too deep out there for Jeff. At the end of October, Bob invited us to his house for the afternoon and dinner. Upon our arrival, once the jumping joys of greeting were completed between Jem the dog and Lizzie, not Jeff that day, Bob popped a dog movie for Lizzie into his television. He had clearly remarked her taste, installed her in his giant recliner with a bowl of popcorn and a soda, reclined her. Bob rushed me down the hall to his bedroom, shut the door, pushed up my shirt and bra with one hand, stuck the other down my jeans, leaned me back on the bed. Through the door, in the instant before I hissed, "No, no, not now," I could hear the movie dog bark, I could hear Lizzie laugh, I could hear Jim whimpering, hear Jim nosing the bedroom door, making it bump, bump in its frame. I could see the shadows of Jim's paws under the door. This day in February, as I'm picking up toys in Lizzie's room, Chucky appears on all fours with a baby doll in his mouth. Chucky drops the doll at my feet and pleads, "Throw it, Mama, into the pond." It's winter. The pond is frozen. Chucky thumps his bed. "This is the pond. It's not frozen." I throw the baby doll onto the lake bed. Chucky dives in after the doll, splashes violently in the sheets, climbs out, doll clenched in his jaws. Chucky sidles up, shakes water all over me. Drops fly through the air, beat up on my jeans. I brush them off, tell Chucky, "Hey, you're getting me all wet."